in Proverbs, the 31st chapter, Proverbs chapter 31. We're actually discussing on Sunday nights the family. And tonight we are continuing our study of mom. Pay attention, mom, and pay attention, guys. Pay attention, young ladies. Pay attention, husbands. These are what you ought to be doing if you're a husband. You ought to follow some of the examples of this husband here. If you're a mom, this is what you ought to look like. Or a wife, this is what you ought to look like. If you are a young lady hoping to become a wife one day, become this one. If you're a young man looking for a wife one day, look for this one. You see how it works? Proverbs chapter 31. In the chapter, it is Solomon's mom writing or talking to Solomon, giving him advice. And then we're going to just make some application to it. We're going to get through the entire chapter as we work through, finish this up, move on from, we've looked at dad, we've looked at mom now, and then we're going to look at the next segment of the family come next week. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on our time together. Father, we ask that you would bless as we study your word. Father, that we would apply its truth to our own hearts and lives, that we would allow you to challenge us to become the husband, the wife, the young person in the family, the grandfather, the grandmother that you have called us to be, that we would fit within the family unit in a way that brings glory and honor to our Savior, that strengthens the home, that strengthens our nation, our churches. And Father, we will thank and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It starts in verse 10, which we've already looked at somewhat. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. We looked at that price there from 1 Peter chapter 3, where it talks about how that she is to be honored as the weaker vessel, not weak as in she does not have any ability or strength. You're going to find that that's not true as you look at Proverbs chapter 31, but as a cherished, precious, unable to be replaced vessel. That's how husbands, we are to treat our wives. That's how kids, you are to treat your mother. That's how all of us, as our mothers grow older, we are to consider them that weaker vessel. And it's our job. It's time that men be men. But that's another message. But that men would be men in this society. We definitely need men. And in order to do that, ladies, we need for you to be ladies. That's just the reality of it. And here's what it's going to be like for you to be a godly lady. Might not be exactly what you might think of, but it is exactly what God says is a godly, virtuous woman. So I'm going to give you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 characteristics of this woman that we can find in this passage of Scripture. And what I'm going to ask then of you, ladies, is that you would emulate those things. That's not me asking, it's God asking. And then, guys, I'm going to ask that we would help the ladies in our life to become these things, to encourage them toward, to guide them toward, and then, of course, to look for those kinds of qualities in the ones that we marry, that you're going to marry, those of you teenagers who are still on that side of that equation, all right? So Proverbs chapter 31, let's begin looking at verse 10, and we're going to just kind of rush ourselves through this whole thing. First of all, as we see in this passage, she is good-natured, she is sweet, kind, she is compassionate. Let's take a look at the verses, and I'll prove it to you. Look at verse 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. We've looked at this passage already, but let me just reemphasize it again. She will do him good, ladies, and not evil all the days of her life. Now, every husband knows exactly what that means. I think every wife knows exactly what that means. I think we pretend we don't understand it in order to keep from being held accountable to it. What it means, ladies, is you're not going to criticize him constantly. You're not going to browbeat him. You're not going to make it difficult for him to lead you. In order for him to lead you, you must be willing to follow. And so, you know, that's simply what it means. So she's this good-natured person. Look at verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She's caring and good and compassionate. She's loving and looking after other people. Look at verse 17. She girdeth the loins of strength. And, I'm sorry, not verse 17. Look at verse 20. It says, she stretched out her hand to the poor. Yea, she stretched forth her hand to the needy. So she is concerned about other people. This is this good, sweet, kind, compassionate person that God wants you to be. Look at verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She is sweet. Nothing mean and vindictive comes out of this woman's mouth. You know, she is guarding her mouth. She's being careful that only that which is good to the use of edifying, ministering grace to the hearer, is what she's speaking. She is this sweet, kind, compassionate person. Ladies, that's what is required of a godly lady. This is what God says, this is that virtuous woman. Set your goals high. Do not allow yourself to become anything less. You know, it is awful when people use foul language. It is atrocious when women use foul language. I mean, it's just, it is hard to fathom. Be a lady. But not only that, she is industrious. Guys, hang on tight. You're about to be put to shame. My dad was 62 years old the first day that I outworked him. I think I told you that story. And a few days after that, he was in the hospital with congestive heart failure. It took congestive heart failure for me to be able to outwork my dad. He just knew how to work. And he worked, and worked hard. And I always thought, you know, I want to work. And we were out there, I remember, spreading tar on his driveway in 90-degree weather. And for the first time in my life, I was 42, dad was 62. For the first time in my life, no, that's not true. My dad's 40 years older than me. So I was 32. No, I was 22. My dad was 62. Is that right? Yeah, he was 40 when I was born. Wow. Man, I should have been able to work circles around that man. Now I really feel bad. And I remember thinking to myself, this is a great day. Because my dad got tired before I did and sat down. He said, I've got to take a break. That had never happened, ever. Well, then a few days later, he's in the hospital. Okay, so it took congestive heart failure to get my dad to be able to, for me to be able to outwork my dad. Look at this woman. Try to keep up with her. You ready? Verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh, what's the word, ladies? Willingly with her hands. That's an important thing, by the way. She works willingly with her hands. Look at verse 15. She riseth while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. I told you about my grandmother, right? So here's my 85-year-old grandmother, maybe not quite 85 at this point. She might have been 83. I'm sleeping in the feather bed. We had a feather bed. In between the living room and the kitchen was what we would call probably a breezeway, just this nothing room, you know, just kind of a large closet you walk through to get from one to the other. But there was a feather bed in there. So whenever all the family came to my grandmother's house, they just piled people everywhere, and they'd pile about five or six of us kids in the feather bed because it was there, and we just all kind of sleep. And I remember at about 4:30 in the morning, you'd start hearing a noise in the kitchen right next door. And what you'd hear is this, it's my grandmother's feet shuffling across the kitchen floor, and she would always be humming, usually something like Amazing Grace or 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. And she's fixing breakfast for the 45, 50 people that are about to sit at her table. And she's doing it by herself. She wouldn't let anybody else cook in her kitchen. She's fixing breakfast for everybody. It was the greatest breakfast you'd ever want to eat. She knew how to cook. But anyway, she was this. Listen up. She gets up while it's yet night, and she fixes stuff for her family. Look at verse 16. It says, she considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. Look at verse 17. She girdeth the loins of strength and strengtheneth her arms. Verse 19. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. That means she's making thread and sewing and weaving and doing all that kind of stuff. Look at verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Now, we could get into some other things, which we're going to get into in just a moment, about her busyness. This woman was a busy woman. I really don't know if this woman had trouble watching too many soaps on television. Get the idea? Now, granted, they didn't have television back then. I know that. And I'm not against television, but I am against hours and hours on end of television, right? I'm not against television, but I do think that if you want to be this godly woman, you ought to follow this example. Get off the couch. That's what you got to do. Get busy. Find something to do. Well, you know, the housework's all done, Pastor John. Well, then go clean somebody else's house. You say, oh, that's not even right. Let them clean their own house. I'm talking about someone who needs your help. Oh, they don't exist? Yes, they do. I mean, that's what this woman did. She kept very busy. She didn't sit down for very long. She was creative. Look at verse 14. She is like the merchant ships. By the way, that's what this verse means. Not beep, 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 beep. All right? That's not what it's talking about. It says she is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She knows how to be creative. She didn't just, okay, it's, what are we having? You know, here's some hash again. You know, it wasn't that kind of thing. She spent some time being creative in what she presented for her family for her meals. But she wasn't only creative there. Look at verse 19. She laid her hands on the spindle and her hands over the distaff. She had some hobbies. She had some things she was doing. She was out there, I don't know exactly what she was doing with this spindle and distaff. If she was making, you know, making quilts, or if she was making rugs or whatever. I know that eventually she's going to be making tapestries, the Bible says in this passage, but she's very creative. She takes what ability she has and she puts them to some creative use. Go, if you would, to verse 22. It says, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. You could say, okay, she's making clothing. That's one. But you could also say that she tries to keep herself attractive. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. She's actually making silk and tapestries for herself. It's important to her that she look good for her husband. And ladies, that is part of the... And every man wants to say amen right now, but doesn't dare. That's exactly what the Bible is teaching us here, all right? I'll be the one to say it. My wife looks beautiful, so I can say it to you. Take a look at verse, where are we at? 24. 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. She is creative. She's making all of this stuff and she's out there taking the talents that God has given her and finding ways to put it to work, finding ways to help the family with it, finding ways to even help support the family here with it. She's doing all kinds of different things. We went through this phase in our fundamental Baptist movement where, like, if a woman had a job, she was wicked. And it became a brag point for us, quite honestly, a pride issue for us as men, to say, my wife stays at home, as if somehow if our wife didn't have to do anything but clean the house, that made us more spiritual. Well, first of all, let me point out to you guys, you couldn't keep up with her just cleaning the house. You just couldn't. Trust me, I've watched many a man try, and few men can clean a house. And that's just one. She's always working. Yeah, she doesn't. I love it when men say, no, my wife doesn't work. Oh, man, when they say that, I just want to duck for them because there's about 500 ladies that are about to slap him silly, right? This is the guy usually has got 7 kids in tow, right? No, my wife doesn't work. Yikes, listen to what you are saying. But anyway, this woman actually is doing even more. She's working outside the home. I'll show you that. She's doing whatever is necessary to make the family unit work well. And so she's out there very busy. She's trustworthy and smart. Take a look at verse 16. It says, She considered the field. I love this verse, by the way. This verse just gives me, it just astounds me. Can you imagine coming home, guys? Can you imagine this in your wildest dreams? And your wife saying, I bought a house today. I mean, in your wildest dreams, can you imagine coming home and your wife saying, oh, by the way, I bought a car today. She considereth a field and buyeth it. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible calls her this virtuous, godly woman. I mean, she is smart and trustworthy. And what you do not see is the husband being offended by the fact that this woman has ability. His manhood is not threatened by the fact that she actually knows how to do something. You know, I married a strong woman. I know that may surprise you, but I married a strong woman. I hope it doesn't surprise you. You know my wife. So she's, my strong woman is homesick tonight, but she is, you know, if she was here, she knows this. But, you know, when I married her, she did not need me to step into her life in order to survive. She was already running a business. She was a beautician. She had her own business making good money. She had 2 degrees already, one in beauty school, and then went on and got a degree in education. So she's a teacher as well as a beautician. And she has incredible ability. That actually drew me to her. Do you understand? I love the fact that she could think. Wow. So this is this godly woman. And I just think that's an amazing statement. I don't know how even I would deal with that one, but it says she considers a field and buys it. And what she is doing business. Take a look at verse 18. It says, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Take a look at verse 24. It says, she maketh fine linen, and what's it say? Selleth it. Oh, wow. This woman's running at least 2 businesses out of her home, taking care of poor people, keeping care of the house, making sure everybody's fed, being creative. Are you tired yet? This is a godly woman. She is sweet, kind, gracious, compassionate. She's industrious. She's creative. She's smart. And I say trustworthy because her husband trusted her to buy and sell, conduct business, do the things that needed to be done. Her husband trusted her, and so did everybody else apparently. But that wasn't all. She was prepared. Take a look at verse 21. 21 says, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. You see, she's not afraid of what might come because she knows she's prepared. There's only so many women that I really know very well, right? I know my grandmothers kind of well because they were old when I was born and they died when I was young. But I know them. I know my mom very well. I know my wife very well. There's only a few women I know very well. So I can only draw from so much of this pool. You understand? My mom was this kind of person who could feed 40 people in an hour if you ask her to. I know because I did it twice to her. I mean, I gave her that kind of notice. Mom, I'm bringing the teenagers over. I'm talking about I'm driving a bus full of teenagers. I'm bringing the teenagers over. Can you feed us dinner? And she'd do it. She was prepared. She was never taken off guard. She was always prepared and ready. She knew that if something happened, the family was ready to endure because she had been working to make sure that the family was ready. Now, I'm going to tell you this. It's going to shock you. My mom, when I did that to her twice, lived in a trailer. So where did she keep all that stuff? I mean, I'm being honest. I'm going to tell you, I really don't know. I mean, they had a garage, and, you know, my mom was married to someone else, so they had a garage, and they had a freezer out there. I'm guessing there was a lot of stuff. I don't know how they did it. I really don't. I listened one time to my mom, the Ray family. We do reunions. We're reunion happy people. We always do reunions. My great-great-grandfather, George Ray, has been having a reunion. Well, he's dead, but has been having a reunion in Worthington, Indiana since 1903, every year since 1903. My family just, they're just into that kind of stuff. So we're at a Ray reunion. It's happening. This is not the George Ray reunion, or not the Jim Ray reunion from Worthington, but the George Ray reunion, my grandfather. And so it's all, and there's probably 70 people at Shackamack State Park. My mom lives 3.5 miles of Shackamack State Park. It's getting late. Everybody's deciding what they're going to do. And my mom literally says to 70 people, don't go home. Let's all go over to our house and I'll fix dinner. I'm not making it up. And so probably 45, 50 people stayed at my mom and Uncle Jeff's house and fixed dinner. And she fed them all. She was never caught off guard. She was prepared. And that's what this godly woman does. She looks ahead. The snow's coming. She's not worried. She's ready. Her household is ready. She's prepared. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. We said that one. So let's go on. Last thing, she's not only sweet and gracious and kind and industrious and creative and trustworthy and smart and prepared. She is well known for her goodness. Her testimony is powerful. Listen to what it says. Verse 23. It says her husband is known in the gates. Now, here's the idea of this. This passage of Scripture is not about her husband. You understand? It's about the virtuous woman. Why is her husband known? Don't make this hard. Because she is this kind of a woman. I mean, it's literally like, oh, wow, looky there. That's Melody's husband. Her husband is known because of who she is. This is what a godly woman does for a household. This is what a virtuous woman does for a church. This is what a godly, virtuous woman does for her Savior. There are women in the Scripture that are likened to this. Do you remember a wonderful namesake, Dorcas, in the Bible? I have a cousin named Dorcas, so be careful. Dorcas was a wonderful woman in the Bible. She really was. And when she died, the whole place came out to honor her because she had such a wonderful testimony. I mean, this is what that godly woman does. She is well known. In fact, keep going. Look at verse 28. It says, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. And he, can I help you guys? Just like this woman does him good and not evil so she doesn't talk bad about him. Guys, you know what a godly husband does? You want to help your wife be a virtuous woman? Then praise her and stop criticizing her. Do you understand? Stop it. She does not need you to humiliate her for her shortcomings. Does she have them? Yes. Hello. Welcome to humanity. We all do. It's called sinners. That's what we are. But your job, guys, is not to point those things out. And shame on the husband who fails to praise his wife. Help her to be a godly woman. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, listen to what it says, he praiseth her. Take a look at verse 29. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. You want to be that godly, virtuous woman? Then it's time to step up to the plate. Adopt a sweet, kind nature. Do the things that are sweet and gracious. Take care of people who are in need. Take care of those who are under your protection. Do good to your husband and not evil all the days of his life. Do the things that are of a sweet nature. You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3 that a meek and quiet spirit are what make this godly woman. So set that bar high, ladies. Become that sweet lady. You know, there are some in our church that you hope show up to get ready for every fellowship. And there are some in every church, including this one, that when they come are like the wrench in the gears. You know, they're not helping because they're not coming with the sweet nature. It's a burden to them to come and cook and clean and set up tables. And it's a burden rather than a blessing. You must choose to adopt a sweet nature, ladies, to be this virtuous woman. And then become industrious. You know, just simply set your goal this way. I'm going to work 10 minutes longer every day this week. Work meaning just get up off the couch and do something else. I know, isn't it funny, ladies, I know how this works. Every time your husband walks in, it's the time that you sat down. And you're like, I really haven't been sitting here. You know, I understand how that works. But that's not what I'm talking about. And if your husband's pointing it out to you, then I'll slap him for you. That shouldn't happen, all right? That's not what we're talking about. But we are talking about that you simply must choose to be industrious. Do you think it was easy for this woman to do all the things that she did? She ran two businesses. She cooked, she cleaned, she sewed. She made her husband look good. She watched over her children. I mean, wow. This woman was incredible. Superwoman. It was incredible. So just simply set the bar. I'm going to be industrious. I'm going to look for something else to do so that I might be used of God to bring glory and honor to Him. And if you need someone to go visit, let me know. We have people that aren't necessarily shut-ins, but you could still go visit them. We have some people that are shut-ins, and you could go visit them and just be an encouragement to them, those kinds of things. Be industrious. Be creative. You know, it is easy to get into a rut, isn't it? You know, it's easy to get into a rut. We find those 7 meals that are easy for us to fix, and we can kind of fix them in our sleep. And before you know it, we're on a rotation. Oh, it's Monday. It's meatloaf. Let's see. Monday, meatloaf. Tuesday, what's a T thing? Tacos. There you go. Hey, some of you already got this down. I hope that's not a confession. You get the idea. And if we're not careful, we get into this rut. It's like, okay, this is what it is. Unfortunately, we don't have a Friday, so we can't have pizza. I don't know when we have pizza, but you know, when do you make that all happen? And so be creative. Every now and again, I know, here's how it works. You try something new, and your family's like, ew. I know how it works. And then you turn around, and you look at your husband, and you say, remember what Pastor said? And then the husband looks at the kids, right? This is how this should work. And you will be thankful for what you are given. Right? Whatever happened to those days? As opposed to allowing our kids to browbeat mom into frozen dinners. What's happening here? No. She's being creative. Your job is to praise her. Ladies, you know, you are smart. We know. Don't be afraid to put your smarts to work to help the family. That's what this lady did. 2 separate businesses, at least, we see here. Clearly, she's buying and selling property, and she's making stuff and selling it. This lady has 2 businesses going, and the profit is coming into the family to help the family. And dads, we tend to, you know, not like these kinds of things. It's perhaps hurts our manhood if we're not careful to think that we're supposed to do all this. But what do you think God meant when he looked at Adam and said, it is not good that this man should be alone? He needs a help meet to step along side so that this all works the way it's supposed to. And so let her use her ability. She's smart. She's intelligent. She is. And so let her use the ability that she's got. Be prepared, ladies, and then take that testimony and make it count for your family. So, ladies, if you do this, guys, if you look for this kind of a woman, teenage girls, if you become this kind of a woman, then we will have in another generation stronger families, stronger churches, and a stronger nation. But if we ignore it, then we will continue to weaken in our society. So that's what we're trying to work toward. Dads, being the dads, we looked at you already because that's where it starts. Mom, step up to the plate. Be this woman that God has called you to be. And next week, we start to talk about kids and how they fit into the home. So looking forward to all of that. Let's pray.